The Disappointing Friend podcast is produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Eastern Kulin Nations. We pay respect to elders past and present. We're grateful to share in the act of oral storytelling and community care that has existed within these cultures on these lands for thousands of years. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Welcome everyone to the Disappointing Friendship Podcast.
Wrong name.
No, it was.
We don't have friendship. It's just the Disappointing Friend. But this has happened before. Do we need to change it? But we'd need to change so many.
No. Okay, get it right, Fatuma. I am your girl, Fatuma Danzako. I'm a mum, a content creator, the owner of Collected Closets, and I'm also a disappointing friend.
And I'm your co-host, Juliette Miranda Rowe, artist, local icon, socialite, everybody's favourite plus one.
You are a good plus one.
Yeah, I'm a great plus one. I really commit to the role.
Yeah.
And also another disappointing friend. And today we're discussing a topic close to my heart as the perpetual spinster. We're discussing the dynamics of what happens when someone who has been your like long-term platonic love finds an actual lover.
Before this, I was trying to describe in all sorts of words, and Juliet was just like, it should just be like, why does your friend ditch you?
Yeah, why does your friend ditch you when she gets a boyfriend? Yeah, obviously, we don't think this just happens in heterosexual relationships. It happens in all kinds of relationships.
In your 20s, I think you deal with it and it affects you very differently. I remember in my 20s, if my friend got a boyfriend and like I didn't hear from her, I was like, rage. Like, where are you? Like, especially if I didn't find that the person, and this has happened quite a few, like I genuinely like the person that they're going out with, but I just never envisioned that person for them. Like, I know, in your 20s, that's, I don't know. And like for a while, it really affected my friendships. I'd be like, girl, I think you're amazing. You're, oh my God, we are going to be these divas that rule the world and we're going to go out with guys that do this and blah, blah. And then someone would bring me a guy and genuinely this person would be lovely. Nothing actually wrong with him, but I'm like, no, not for you.
When I was in my 20s, a lot of the people who were closest to me were in these long-term relationships from quite a young age.
And oh, wow.
Like, yeah, it's actually, some of my immediate friends have like literally still never experienced like dating apps, like long-term monogamous people who have moved from like monogamous relationships to monogamous relationships. When I was in high school, I'd experienced the like my friends getting boyfriends, and the role I took on was that I became an amazing plus one. And the thing is, though, I think what my friends saw in this was like, oh, Juliet's just like such a social person. Like, there are friends of mine who I was like on some of their like actual, in reality, they would date. They'd be like, I'm going to hang out with so-and-so. Like, do you want to come? And I'm there as like almost like mediator. They can both be a bit shy, but I'm like, do you know what I mean? It's like actually like a bit ridiculous. Like when I think back to it, because it's like young, these are like 16, 17, but it's like black because I'm social.
Yeah.
So it's like,
you're like
I'll go
breaker.
Yeah. And the thing is, I would have a lot of friends be like, oh, I just have social anxiety. I'm like, you don't think I have social anxiety? My social anxiety is so bad that I can't bear to sit in this room feeling awkward. I have to put on a performance for you.
Oh, yeah.
That's how my anxiety manifests. I'm not going to say I wasn't entirely uncomfortable with that, because in a lot of ways it meant I still got to hang out with my friend.
Yeah, 100%.
Not only did I get to hang out with her friend, but I liked that, like, their partners didn't hate me. Now in later years, I do that a lot less. And I find that if I'm not, like, leading the charge, I have friends, I have partners, and I'm like,
oh, wow.
I don't know those people. Like, do you think some people, like, just aren't as social and, like, don't want to integrate friends with partners as much?
Well, I've only had two relationships, so I'm that long-term monogamous kind of girl. But in my first relationship, I think about it all the time, how dumb I was. Like, I mean, he would also agree. I have no idea how this happened. And if I think about to this day, I actually think, why? Why did I put myself up? So basically what had happened was that I got this guy and I really, really liked him. And for some reason, I just stopped seeing my friends. Like, he didn't ask me to. The worst part of this story is, I remember we lived in Collingwood on Oxford Street, like, and I'm talking about 15 years ago, this really cool apartment. He would go out. His housemates would go out and I would be home just waiting for him to come home.
Yeah.
That for me is crazy. And I didn't do it once. I did not twice. I probably did it like.
How old were you when you were in this relationship?
Like 22.
Yeah.
I would just be home. For some reason, like I said, he didn't ask me not to be friends with any of my friends.
No.
I was just so into him. Or like, I don't know, like had like just decided that I wanted to devote my life to him, Ruby. Yeah. Like I went to work. But there are times where I'd just be like, hey, look, I'm going out with my friends. I didn't really like his friends as well. So I'd be like, that's okay. I'll just be here.
Yeah.
And come home at 1 a.m. and I'd just like.
Wait
just
up for him.
Wait up for him. What?
Yeah, Vaughn.
And I thank God our relationship lasts too long.
No.
But like, and I like think about it all the time. Again, I know lots of women that do it because their boyfriends are definitely not like, do not do this. Like, do not see your friends.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's like, I remember like I wasn't the only one, so it didn't feel weird.
Yeah.
It was just like, yeah, just. And then I remember this one time at the very end of the relationship, I had to like, I was like, oh my God. His housemate might have came home. And she was just like, here's the tumor again.
Yeah.
On the couch waiting for him. And his housemates had a really big friendship group.
Yeah.
And I think she just might have just casually just been like,
don't you have anywhere to be?
Don't you have any friends?
Yeah.
And I like was offended at the time, as you are. I took myself, because his house is so cute, had an atrium in it, just like a really cool room. I went in the atrium and started writing down like my friends. And I struggled.
Yeah.
Because I had just decided that I just distance my friends. And before then I had a huge healthy friend group. I don't know why.
Well, it actually doesn't sound like you decided though. Like that's the thing. It sounds like you, it wasn't a conscious decision. It sounds like you like slid into a relationship
into
obsession.
That. Yeah. And it's so weird because the girlfriend's like one of my old girlfriends, we'll call her Jade because her name is Jade and she'd appreciate it. Best girlfriends. And then I got a boyfriend and I was like, no. Until this day, like, I wanted to, like, reach out or, like, you know. And I just realized, like, no, I was an idiot. Like, this was me. I 100%, like, made this happen. So in my next relationship, I then overcorrected. I was like, I come with this pack.
Yeah.
This is my life. You will see me in between my friendships.
Yeah.
Like I would like I'd go away without him. I'd be like, no. Me and my girlfriend's been in New York every year. No one's bringing a plus boyfriend.
Yeah.
No. And so I overcorrected, and then he was just like,
"Are we in a relationship? Is this the thing?
My friends have never met you, and I'm like, yeah, no, I've got my crew. So I like went from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, I think that is what happens though when you notice something, you generally do overcorrect. That's really interesting to me because as someone who's perpetual spinster. I think that's also why I struggle with relationships because I really stifle any level of obsession and it becomes like this internal, I become like a Coke bottle that's like shaken up that's about to explode. So rather than like expressing how into someone I am, I can really like temper it because I'm like, oh no, I don't want to be that woman that like puts my life on pause because I'm like so obsessed with someone.
Yeah, and don't do
then,
it, ladies.
No, but the thing is though, what happens though is then for years I was essentially like repressing desires or I was coming across as really cold and uninterested in relationships when it's like, no, I'm obsessed with you. Can't you hear how obsessed I am with you? Yeah. It's like, no, they couldn't. In reality, there needs to be a balance of actually expressing that interest and navigating being a functioning human that isn't like totally devoted to someone. Because when I was younger, I would see this happen. But it's nice of you to at least have that thought because I still have friends I don't think have had that kind of like realization of, or maybe they have, but they're not gonna express it.
To be honest, the reason why I've been thinking about it, because it's so cringe. Like, to be honest, like I'm saying 6 to 8 weeks. I think it was probably more like 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
And I think about that time and I think, what was it about me, right? Because it was also quite common. And this is why I thought it was interesting to talk about it in the podcast. Like, there was a part of me that like was literally like, when I think about it, like, what was I doing? And it was interesting because he didn't really invite me out because I think he thought I was a bit of a crazy. And so like he also didn't encourage it. And it's not on him.
Like you didn't want to go hang out with his friends anyway.
He didn't. And he was just like, oh, Fatima's a bit of a mess. Well, I don't need that drama. I'd rather just like go out without her.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was 22. Like, of course he wanted to go out. He didn't want to stay home with Sad Sally Fatuma and be like, I love you so much.
Yeah.
Let's do nothing for a Friday, Saturday and a Sunday.
Look, there's a thing on the internet at the moment. There are worldwide pushes of like more and more women moving away from long-term partnership, particularly partnership with men. And there's quite a lot of content creators who will talk about for women to be in a relationship with a man can actually be quite a liability. Even, I know it's a downer, but like in this country at the moment, we have seen like the worst women being murdered by male partners or ex-male partners. Like it's more, it's a higher stat than it's been in years. Like that is conscious, I guess, in the mind when you are a single person entering into the world. It's really like you have to put in so much conscious effort to block out all the noise that's coming at you that's like, this person could literally murder you. I walk home a lot at night. I don't have a car. And or even if I don't walk home, I get DiDi's, Ubers, public transport, whatever. And my friends will often be like, oh my God, please message me when you get home. Like they're really worried for my safety. And it's really interesting because I think all of my friends are in healthy relationships, even if I aren't chummy with their partners. I think they're safe. But it's interesting to me because I'm like, oh, they're so scared for me to be out in the street. Whereas I'm like, do you understand how scared I was for you? You're living alone with this strange man, this man that I do not know. And you are alone in the house with him 7 days a fucking week. Like literally I can sometimes be so paranoid. There was someone I slept with years ago that before they came over, and I knew this person, but before they came over, I got a little bit like, just like, oh, I'm a bit nervous about a man being in my house. Mm. Do you know what I did? I locked away my laptop in the cupboard. Like, what did I think was going to happen? Like, we'd fall asleep and he was going to rob me. And then it's like, if you think that about this person, why would you sleep with him? He wasn't going to do that. But it's like, that's my anxiety starts manifesting in this way where you're like, oh, but put my wallet in there as well. And it's like, what? That wasn't going to happen. So it's like dating in your mid-30s when like, especially if like for me, and you know, I know I understand everyone's not in the same circumstances, but it's like, I feel really good in my life.
Yeah.
And there's lots of problems in my life, don't get me wrong, but it's like I've gotten to a place where I really know how to like make myself feel good. I know how to keep the wheels a moving. I have relationships and friendships that feel very secure and I feel generally happy. And so the idea of bringing someone else into that ecosystem that is not also going to contribute to keeping the wheels a moving and keeping like things happy is really a liability.
Yeah.
And particularly when it's also like, oh my God, but also what if that person murders me? Like, it's not just that they're a liability and they make me sad and they make me forget that I have friends and I'm sitting at home at a Friday night waiting till 1 a.m. for them to come home from whatever they're doing. No offense. But it's like, what if
I'm 22.
No, I know, but that's the thing is, I'm not going to deny that that can happen to people in their 30s.
Yeah.
Particularly because when you're a 22, even if you forgot about your friends, I imagine before that, you had friends.
No,
you had a social life, right?
Oh my God, I was out
when you're
time.
In your 30s, it actually, you have to really put effort in to like keep platonic stuff going, right? That's why I think so many people can get into really bad relationships because they are desperately lonely. They want intimacy. They want any level of attention from someone, even if the level of attention they're getting from that person is like not necessarily great, it still just might be more than what they're getting from other people in their
lives. Well, it's so funny you're saying this because yesterday I was at the salon thinking I was going to get a cute little French bob. Don't have one because it didn't go right.
I mean, that's my vibe.
next week, that will be my vibe. Anyway, I was at the salon and I was talking to my beautiful hairdresser, Agatha, and we were just talking about relationships. And there was another client and she was telling me all these like saucy stories.
She's gossiping.
It was so much fun. As a married woman for
like,
the last 15 years, I was like, wow, this is wild, cool stories, international. Like, it was great. I feel like the society gives you this pin like that, oh my God, you've been chosen.
Yeah.
Someone loves you. But they never talk about how happy you are. Are you thriving? Is this person going to make you better? What about your life? Is it? I don't think we do that. I think you just get a pin and for some reason you just get put on this like, you're married. Here's a ring. No, doesn't matter how good the ring is.
No.
As long as you've got one on your finger, you get put in this like box that you're better than other people.
Yeah.
And then I listen, to be honest, I love my husband. He's great. Then I go to the salon, listen to these international love stories. Expose. What's the word? Expose. What is it when you're like?
Exposés.
No, what is it like? Expeditions.
Oh, expeditions.
You know, having breakfast in Paris.
Who are these people?
The stories I hear. And I literally was like, what are we doing with my life?
Like, different things. I can tell you.
They are different.
Yeah.
But I think that because in society, one is just propped up, especially
you've given a lot
especially after 30, 35, 40, like it's just a different like in life. I don't think people ever talk about like, oh my God, your marriage is really beautiful. Wow. They don't talk about, oh my God, that's really exciting. They just go married, tick a box.
Yeah.
They don't like, we don't question enough about the actual driving, the well-being of that marriage. Well, and then I look at some of my single girlfriends and I'm like, what?
Yeah, because I was going to say, I'm like, well, I do question it. I'm like, you know who's questioning it? The single people. The single people are questioning it. Yeah, I do think, I think it's a grass is always greener kind of thing. I mean, I think about it a lot because I definitely used to have a lot of shame around not having been in a long-term partnership. I think it also meant that I put a lot of pressure onto my platonic friendships because I was essentially using them as like evidence to myself that I was lovable. Mm. And like, I don't think that this is necessarily what I believe. It's just that you are given a lot of social conditioning from a really young age
yes.
into thinking that those type of things are what make you worthy. So definitely when I was younger, it was like, oh no, look, these are all the people who love me and look how well I've maintained these relationships and et cetera, et cetera. On the other hand, though, I have can become like almost managerial in certain relationships where it's, sometimes it can feel like I'm the driving force. Because particularly because I've had friendships with a lot of people who have had long-term relationships. So maybe they've put less priority on like maintenance of friendships. And it's kind of been like, oh, I'll see you when I see you. And like if I was a I'll see you when I see you person, there's a possibility I won't see anyone for a month. As a single person, you have to kind of keep a lot of plates spinning sometimes. Particularly I think if you're a single person that doesn't have like, oh, this is my right-hand man, this is my bestie, this is my, like, people can get into almost, like, platonic partnerships where they see each other really often. And I had this realization recently because I saw it. It was, like, a thread on Threads or Instagram that was, like, how often should you be seeing someone when you start dating? And there are all these people that were like, oh, you know, when me and my boyfriend start seeing each other, we'd see each other, like, once a week. And then, you know, after, like, the first month, it was, like, once a weekday and then once on the weekend. And then other people like, once a week? Oh my God, I want to live in his skin. I, you know, and like kind of thing, like every day. And then one person being like, when it was the girl I actually wanted to be with, I saw her every day. And it's been that way for 17 years. And I started like really overanalyzing this. I don't want to pretend I've never been the person that's like, I want to live inside someone's skin. Mm-hmm. My ex-lover will tell you, like, I wanted to live inside that man's rib cage. Straddled up right there next to his heart. And I thought about it realistically because I was like, I think even if I was really into someone right now, I don't know if I would want to see them every day. And then I was like, oh, that makes me kind of sad. I think it's also particularly post-pandemic. I've spoken about this before. I was like, I spent a lot of time in isolation, like by myself, and I'm really not used to having someone around that much. So,
but I do think that, like, I remember when I first met my partner, for the first couple of months, he would message me once a week and be like, he'll be like, hi, do you want to have dinner on Friday?
Plans, love it.
Yeah, or on the day, like so after the day, he'll be like, I'll see you next Friday. And I'll be like, okay. And then I would, that was it. He would not, I would get not one single text. I get not one single call except for like at midnight the night before or the morning of. And he'll be like, we're still seeing you today, yeah? Or I'll see you tomorrow.
Midnight? I don't love that, but you know, like, he's turned out good.
Well, and I was like a little bit like intrigued. Like, you know, all these other guys, you'd text a couple of times a day or he'd like call you. He was just like, no. And it turned out he was seeing five other girls.
Oh, right. So I was going to say, I'm like, yeah, this is your roster.
I was
scheduled.
Friday night girl. And for some reason, so that happened for like 2 months. So I was just like seeing him every Friday.
Yeah.
And I mean, a Friday is a good slot. So I wasn't complaining. But also I remember through that time being like, see, it's weird. Like we're not having any interactions. Is it, I don't want to be needy. So weirdly, it kind of like I live my own life. And then on Friday night, I would see him, potentially I'd stay in the night. And then the minute like I realized like a friend saw him make out with another girl on a Saturday and I realized, obviously I confronted him. I was like, what the hell is going on? In that time, what was interesting was because I only got that once a week interaction, I was like, I've changed from the last like staying home every Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah.
Look at me, evolution. And then the minute he was like, I can see all the time. I went back into it.
I was like, no, I don't have time for that.
No, I mean, I didn't go right back into it, but I remember being like, oh, Fatuma, like,
I
did have a roommate that I was really friends with. I love her, Emily. I really, really love her. And Ryan didn't really want to hang out as much with her. He loves her now, but like at the start wasn't like, let's hang out with your roommate. Like her and I had Nando Sundays and we used to just order like, like $75 worth of Nando's and sit on the couch on Sundays and eat it. It used to be my favorite thing. And I remember once being like, hey, honey, do you want to come over and do, you know, Nando's fun day? And he was like, no, I don't want to do that. That does not sound like fun. And then I stopped going to Sunday fun day because I was like, I just want to hang out with my boyfriend. I want to hang out with my boyfriend. And I remember it, like at the start, I was not conscious enough to know that what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I remember it being a bit of a regret. And when we talk about it, because it still cringes me that like her and I weren't as good as friends because my boyfriend wasn't like that keen on how her and I hung out. And I feel silly. Like, I mean, I was in my 20s. I feel silly that I didn't just be like, I love sun. Like, if I want to spend $75 on Nando's and sit there and watch Farmer Wants a Wife, who cares? You do your own thing. But I don't think I was strong enough. And I think and I regret on that moment all the time. But I can't imagine if like it was way more deep. Like I caught myself and kind of changed it.
No, that story is so familiar to me. As not that I've ever been a friend that's going to sit around and eat Nando's with you and watch Farmer Wants
a Wife. You should. It was so much fun. I loved it.
I think we were more of a like eat a HSP and watch Real Housewives of Melbourne kind of relationship. I know that feeling of having people start like editing you out of their schedules. The past when my friends have like ditched me for their boyfriends, there was a part of me that was like, just you wait. When I get a partner, I can't wait to ditch you. I think because when I was younger, anytime I felt like revenge, it was essentially like, you want someone to feel how you felt because you're like, I want you to understand how ditched I've felt by you and how discarded I've felt by you. And the only way I imagine that you're able to feel that is like, what if the tables are turned? That's just like is never going to happen. I could get into a relationship and honestly, they wouldn't know for like 3 months. Like I've said before, you know, I love talking to my friends who are in long-term relationships about like my dating adventures or whatever. But when I actually proper start developing, and I only know this because I've only just recently started developing feelings for people. But when I actually have proper feelings for people, I definitely go like, oh, I need to be less loose-lipped. Like, you actually don't need to know up on all my business because this is...
That's the most exciting part of a relationship. That is, that first, like, couple months where you actually lose yourself.
Yeah.
Lose your, like, have that hiatus with friends or whatever, or prioritize or lose. Because it's fleeting. It's not forever. Like, for me, it was 2 years. But, you know, it isn't forever yet. And I think that that is a really special, I mean, you can adult around it because I was like, I could do my washing or I could wear this top again. We could just do something really lame together and like, you know, clean my pantry out. And like, because you're in that love bubble, even doing the pantry's fun.
This is funny considering what I just said about me being a third wheel with other people. I'm like very reluctant to introduce people to my friends. My friends have never met anyone that I'm seeing. Okay. And they're... And I'm like, why am I keeping this a secret? Why am I keeping this? Why am I the one keeping it on the down low? It's really not that serious, Juliet. But like, this is just what happens when you're an insane person like me. Because someone I was romantically involved with, it turned out that we knew some of the same people. It was maybe the first time in a, like ever that I was like, oh, how do I navigate other people having an opinion of you while I'm trying to still work out what's going on here? And like, I know that that's crazy. Well, not crazy. I think it's just interesting because like in general, people's opinions of me don't really affect other parts of my life.
Yeah.
And with romantic stuff, I find it really hard. Yeah, I guess I'm probably still a little bit avoidant to relationships.
Mm. You also know that you've judged some of your friends' partners, not in a mean way. So you're like, oh my God, like, will this happen to me?
There's probably an element. Yeah, there's an element of that, I suppose.
Where I think that if you're, and especially if you're unsure about the relationship. So like I know with like my husband, at the start, my friends didn't like him legitimately because he was seeing 5 other girls. So it made sense. Like they weren't just like nasty. They were just like, well, why? Why would you want to put yourself in that situation?
Right? That's so funny to me because like I off the bat will just always know if people are seeing other people. Like I'm Inspector Gadget. That's also why I'm like, we're not meeting each other's friends. We're working out what we are.
No, because I thought it was evolution. I was was like, I was needy. I was pick me girl that stayed home for three nights a week for 6 months. And now he's seeing me on a Friday. Like, and I'm good. Like, why am I?
It's giving you Friday. That's impressive. That's a good day of the week for Tuma.
I got a good roster. Like, you know what I mean? So then I wasn't like that. So then by the time I figured it out, instead of me being like, oh my God, this is kind of dodge.
Yeah.
I have not received one single phone call from you.
Yeah.
I kind of put it in this like, look at me, evolution. I've maintaining my life, but I was obsessed.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I used to call him McDreamy. I'm like, oh my God, I am going out with the dreamiest guy that only talks to me on Friday nights. All right. And I had to be very conscious, like, coming in this time as, like, what was I going to, like, how was I going to be as a person?
Yeah.
Like, I was obviously obsessed, but I had a really good, great group. It was like the most amazing group of friends. We all had, like, the season before all broken up with our partners. We called it the Lonely Hearts Club. We'd go to Nova because it was cheap on a Monday. Every Monday, watch a film, unpack it, go to Brunetti's.
I mean, that's just like my regular life. Like, this was just your lonely phase.
Each time we did it, it was like every. So, like, when I went into this new relationship, I was so conscious of not losing that side of me. Right?
Yeah.
Turns out, like, I'm still a crazo. Like, I was obviously obsessed.
Yeah.
But then when my friends started to look in, they were very opinionated. They came in and they were like, no.
Yeah.
No. I don't, like, why? Like, you could go with lots of other people. Why are you picking someone that was already a little bit deceitful at the start? And I remember, again, me picking him and, like, you know, I went on a break. Like, I tried to do the good thing, like, not just listen to him because I was obsessed. I, like, was like, listen, we need to go on a break. Like, my friends are not really feeling you. What you've done is not really what I would like for myself. I didn't want to do it. I, like, forced myself because I was trying to change my old patterns. I was obsessed with him. I was like...
Were your friends also single, though, when you got with him? When they're telling you, like, this isn't good enough for you vibes?
It was a mixture.
Were they still... Because I was thinking about this a lot. I didn't date for, like, most of my 20s and then got back into, like, yeah, we'll say dating for lack of a better word, in my late 20s. And when I got into it, some of my closest besties at the time had not really dated as adults. They definitely would think, like, some of these situations, like, don't love it, but they were trying to be, like, really encouraging. Whereas my single friends were like, this is, like, dangerous, toxic behavior.
Yeah.
I could actually be a bit real with them because they'd be like, hey, we've all been here. Like, I've done this too. Like, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. Whereas my friends who are in long-term relationships, sometimes I would tell them things, which I was telling them because I'm like, I can't believe I, like, let someone treat me this way, or I can't believe I did this. And their reactions would actually just not be at the level that I needed. And I think also because a lot of the time it was like, I'm texting, because sometimes I'd be texting and I'd be telling its story and it's like, I'm giving summary and someone's reaction would be like, ooh, sexy. And I'd be like, no, that wasn't actually a sexy interaction. And, like, once again, if I'd sent this to one of my single friends, they would have been like, whoa, block that person. Like,
yeah.
Whereas some of my friends who hadn't been in the dating scene, they didn't have the perspective, right? And so oftentimes
100%.
I would kind of sit there on the other end of my phone being like, oh, that's really not the response. And it wasn't actually until I was in a writing group and we were workshopping this piece I'd done. Everyone really loved it, but they all had very different perspectives about how the protagonist character was feeling in a particular scene. And I thought that was really interesting because I was like, isn't it really obvious how this person's feeling? And my writing coach was like, this is a really great summary of the scene, but you have, like, avoided actually ever saying how the character feels while things are happening. And I was like, oh, but I'm talking about, like, such specific details and all of these things. And she was like, yeah, but, like, that's because you're embodying the character. So you know how the character feels in that moment, but you haven't written on the page. And so everyone in the room is coming at it with, like, their very different experiences, and they're projecting all these different narratives onto things that I'm like, that's not what's happening in the scene. But to them it is, because I hadn't said, or she felt anxious or whatever. And I was like, far out. I was sending these text messages for years just being like, oh my God, this happened. Yeah. Without going like, oh my God, I felt really stressed. I'll try with texting now if someone's, like, cancelled on me or something's happened. I used to just be like, no worries, no stress, those, like, just those immediate reactions, right? But in reality, it's like, well, there was a momentary disappointment. There was a momentary worry. I've come around and, like, obviously in the grand scheme of things, like, it's no worries. But, like, that's not being communicated. And so I got into this habit of being like, oh, that's disappointing, but I understand. Like, let's try and arrange something else.
Yeah.
And at first I would have friends that would start getting really defensive. They'll be like, well, I have all of these things and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm I told you, I understand. Yeah. I was actually just trying to let you know that was disappointed. Yeah. I wanted to see you, because I would also have other friends that sometimes I might be like, oh, I really wanted to see you. And they're like, oh, well, you didn't really seem like you cared when like we canceled on this.
It's like it's fine.
It's like, oh, because I said no worries. It's actually wild that texting has become like such a prevalent way we communicate with each other, because a lot of us are bad writers.
Yeah,
like we're not.
Yeah. My grammar's terrible. Ask my friends. But it's funny you say this, because again, I was at the salon yesterday and I find the salon really intriguing.
It's great. I love it. I was at the salon yesterday too.
Oh, there you go. And especially like, I'm not trying to say black salons are more exciting than white salons.
I'm sure they are.
But the conversation.
My salon is Asian, but anyway.
But like after also hearing about these hot, sexy girls, single girls living their lives, another client came in and she was then talking about her marriage and how it wasn't going so well and blah, 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 blah. And it's interesting that we're talking about marriage advice versus non-marriage advice, because I do think, whenever other married people or people that have been in really long-term relationships, if you go to them for advice, often because there's this like, you must stay married,
yeah,
the advice is so like, oh, okay, yeah, but you can work it out kind of vibe. And it's interesting because this woman is telling me this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, maybe she sticks it out. And she was like listing like, bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. And here I am, like, in my married, like, keep it together for the family. And she, like, after the seventh bad thing, I was like,
you were like, run.
This guy's a monster. Yeah. Run. And it's interesting because in similar situations with friends and groups of friends, when someone has said, like, if she was a single woman dating or, like, a guy that she'd met or, like, a brand new relationship, if someone said that shit to you, you would be like, run, girl, block him, like, do not return. And I'm not talking about casual things. I'm talking about stuff that is, like, not acceptable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bad behavior.
It's funny that, like, in that relationship where you're, like, in a marriage, people talk you out of, like, situations that you should be leaving.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I'm not going to go too deep into it, a friendship group where a woman was not getting treated very well.
Yeah.
And I was getting like enraged by the texting again, all done on like a group message situation, right? And then I privately reached out to this person and was like, girl, what do you need? Run. What do you, like, you don't have to run forever. Just leave. Go. Yeah. Like, and listen, I don't come from a lot of money, but I was like, let's just buy a ticket to blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, let's, and I got backlash.
The other
group people were like, why would you want to like ruin a family? And I was like, what? And at the time, I couldn't believe that was the advice that I was getting from the other people. And it kind of made me think that it's because we as a society value the concept of marriage and family so much that whether you're happy or not in it, as long as you are doing it, then people don't ask you again, well, how happy are you in your marriage?
Yeah.
How healthy is your relationship?
Yeah, I was going to say, mine isn't even happiness. Mine's like safety, like, and healthiness. Because I'm like, particularly for a family, if you're raising children in an environment where like there's even like low levels of tension, kids feel that.
Yeah, my parents
and
are divorced, so I definitely understand.
And
people don't get that enough.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, now that you're saying vividly that time.
Yeah.
So I do think that, like, back to what we're saying in, like, why do people choose one versus the other? I think sometimes society is, because I think married people, like this poor woman, at the time, I was going to give her, like, this little pep talk. Like, girl, you know, blah, 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 for all these reasons. And then as she's telling me horror story after horror, I literally just, like, looked around and these single girls are like, they were like, because they're telling me about being in Jamaica. They just all looked at me like, what advice are you giving her? This person did blah, blah, blah to her. And I'm like, you are right. Run, girl, run. I was like, I don't know you, because obviously it's a salon. I was like, do you want to take my number? Let me help you move out. And she was like, no, girl, I got this.
Oh, no. Like, I wish she took your number.
No. She'd already moved out.
Oh,
like,
right,
she was like,
okay.
No. Like, and lucky for her that she had this confidence. She was strong.
Yeah.
She obviously has, like, other single friends around her that were like, absolutely fucking not.
Yeah.
But I do think married people, not all,
yeah,
sometimes give you advice that's like, work it out. All because they're just like, well, at the end of the day, what's the prize? That you're married.
In saying that, I also think people outside of relationships, I think sometimes you can underestimate how like alone your friend who's in a relationship or how detached 100%. They feel from the world. Or like even a few years ago, you know, venting to a friend about how much my life was falling apart, she explained some things that were going on within her relationship. Mm. And she was like, oh, I've been trying to make it work for like X amount of years. And I'm like, but that's half of the time that you guys have been together.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is time for this to be done. And I felt, the thing is, I felt terrible because I was like, I could kind of vibe that like they weren't happy anymore.
Yeah.
But also I was like, because for years, anytime I expressed this doesn't seem like a great thing, I'd have friends maybe like imply that I was like a jealous single friend or that I didn't know. Like people, that does happen a lot, that people will be like, well, you've never actually been in a relationship, so you don't know what you're talking about. And
which I think is crazy because I feel like
I'm still a human.
Yeah, but also I think that, like, again, I think that the society, I don't understand why. Mm. Like, I just think that when you're in a relationship for some reason, whether it's a good one or whatever, for some reason, like, people just give you that tick.
Mm.
You're the expert now. Like, you know what has a quality standard of it, yeah?
Mm.
I think in friendships, there's a way more quality standard. Like, does your friend, like, there's a lot more of that you're willing to go back and forth with. But in a relationship, for many, I just think that society, always, for some reason, like a single woman that could be so happy living her best life, for some reason, we just don't like, not even just single women, single people, we don't actually like highlight that person. We don't. Like, you can't be a president unless you're married. Like, there's so many parts where the society has just put this like married interjection in there.
Oh, yeah, you don't need to tell me twice. Even in the workplace though, like I find it a lot in the workplace. If you're single, you don't have kids, it'll be like this expectation that, and I'm not saying that everyone doesn't also have this expectation that they're supposed to like work more, but I think that if you say like, oh no, I'm spending time with the family, it's like, I suppose there's a level, particularly in Australian culture, there's this level of like, oh, yeah, it's got to spend time with the family.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think anyone's ever like outright voiced it, but I have had people be like, oh, well, you know, like I've got like a lot of this. So you've got so much flexibility in your schedule. And people in relationships say this to me. Like this is a big part of why when I was in like a depressive episode in like 2022, was like working for myself full time. I'd had like the best year like business wise I'd ever had in my life. Like externally, people kept on congratulating me on all of these things that were happening. And I felt so miserable. Like my life was falling apart. And I had so many people who were in relationships or who had babies who were being like, oh, but like you've got so much freedom. And I was like, I do not feel free. But it became this thing where I then was like really annoyed at myself that I was like, well, why are you not like utilizing the freedoms that you have and like the flexibility that exists for you that other people don't have? I'm like, the reason you don't feel free is because you put yourself in like a little depressed cage. This was right around the time that I had a big fallout with my best friend. Literally in like September, I like was out every single night just because I was like, well, why not? Like, why shouldn't I be out? And like, there was multiple reasons. Like, I didn't want to be in my house anymore because, you know, lockdown had made it just depressing. I didn't want to be in my apartment anymore ever. I remember one night I literally went to like the ballet, like every single night of the week.
Well, you might have had some cash, girl.
Well, yeah, I was making good money, but it's like I saw my sister and we were talking about what we'd done with our week and I was like, oh, I saw this amazing piece and then I saw this piece and like, oh, then I went to this poetry reading and she was like, whoa, what a big week. And I was like, that was Tuesday. And literally I look back on it now and like it was really fun, but I was like, no, I was so depressed that I had to literally keep distracting myself from my own life with like, you know, I'm glad that my drug is ticket events and not something else. But it's like, I remember one night the city, during the Australian Open, the city was really packed. I used to live in the CBD and I just didn't want to cook dinner. But the city was filled with tourists. So I couldn't just go to like one of the mid-level restaurants.
Yeah.
Ended up going to a restaurant that was like, had been voted like the best restaurant of the year before, like 5-star-ish restaurant or something. But because if you're a solo diner, they'll make room for you if they're full because they're like, do you want to sit at the bar? And I was like, sure. And ended up sitting at the bar. And then because it's an expensive restaurant, it was cheaper for me to just get like a 9-course meal for myself. And the couple next to me were like this couple from New Zealand who like they were here from the Australian Open, but they were just like, oh, this is so sorry. Like we're just so curious. Like just here, like you look amazing. Like I was really dressed up because that's just who I am. And there I was like reading myself poetry, eating a 9-course meal.
Oh my God.
And they were like, they were like, oh, what is this about? Like, is it your birthday? Are you here for the open as well? And I was like, no, I live down the street. And they're like, oh, you live nearby. Do you do this all the time? I was like, not at all. But, you know, it's only Wednesday once a week. So I thought, why not have a 9-course meal? And they, like, I just couldn't believe. I was like, I love the idea of these people going back to Auckland. And they're like, we just met this amazing. She's an artist. She lives in the city and she can afford a 9-course meal. It's like, no, I couldn't. I couldn't eat dinner for the rest of the week without a 9-course meal. But literally, I was like trying to romanticize my life so much because I was like, I can't believe you're 32. And the only person who's ever really loved you hates you now and you're never going to find a partner. And like all the, like I thought about it recently because I was like, almost the gratitude I have for my best friend being my first heartbreak. Cause I was like, isn't it so nice? No one else is ever going to hurt you the way that that hurt you. Just cause I think like, I do think of it as like my first proper heartbreak cause I didn't have like a high school partner or something.
Yeah,
I was like, nothing is ever going to feel that earth shattering as that relationship ending. And I was like, it's actually beautiful. Like I'm actually glad it was her and not some just random boy from Hinge. Who doesn't deserve that, like, that title?
That's true.
I was like, I'm actually, like, that's beautiful. Like, yeah. I'm so happy for that.
I want to go back. I mean,
sorry.
I want to go back to that world. I want to do that. Damn it.
Yeah, go have a 9-course meal.
Oh, my own.
Because you're depressed.
Oh, no. Well, no. Yeah. You did it very well. I want to, if I'm ever depressed, I want to do it like that. I'm really, really thankful that my ex-boyfriend allowed me to stay home for 3 days a week because now my friends are one of my biggest achievements in my life. And so I highly invest in my friends.
Yeah.
So even now, like maybe twice a week, I would be like, okay, Ryan and I both go, what's your schedule? And 2 days a week or 1 day a week at least, I will have like a friendship commitment.
Yeah.
And I make no like concessions. I'm like, with my son, I'm like, sorry, mum's gonna hang out with her girls. Yeah, yeah. Like it isn't my number one priority. And I think it's because of that, those years that I think of wasted Saturday prime time years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm really, really glad that I had that, you know. It lasted a little bit too long, personally. But, like, now I always make, and that's why it's been so hard for some of the friendships that are broken down to be, like, it wasn't because I didn't have space for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I was busy and I say that, but I always would somehow try my best to commit to some because my friends, like, that's what keeps you going, even in a marriage. I would say we have a really great marriage.
Yeah.
I still think, and the same with him. Like, if he doesn't see his friends for a while, best believe, I'm like, man, why haven't you seen blah, blah? You know, because I'm like, I want you to go out and the way that you recharge your batteries is through your friends, is having the night out, is really connecting with the people. As long as you're having a good time, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
So, like, I've definitely cultivated a life now through those years to now make it religiously something that is part of who I am and giving back to my friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And maintaining those relationships. I still will take about 72 hours to text you back though. Those little habits still exist. But best believe when I'm there, I'm there.
Interesting as well because like often like community building and like those social aspects are considered like frivolous things within society because they are feminized. I hate it when you talk about certain things and you make it seem like, no, these are really strategic, important things in the workforce. But it's like, there's just important things within culture.
Yeah,
like
we're have coffee human, please.
But also we like humans coffee. Have civilizations because we're able to collaborate and cooperate with each other.
Mm.
And like that comes down to like social skills and like, building those relationships. Anyway. Okay, we've got a question. I have a friend I've known for a long time. But in the last few years, I've noticed some personality traits that I find disturbing and contrary to my values. Authenticity is important to me, but I find this friend to be a people pleaser. I've noticed they have a different laugh for different audiences, among other things. Loyalty is a big thing to me, but I find they will sit on the fence when conflict arises. They've had friendships behind my back and have tapped into my relationships for personal gain. When I have pointed out concerning behavior, they have gaslit me. When I've had personal struggles, they've often villainized me or overshadowed me with their own issues or successes. I feel like I can't ever go to them for comfort or companionship because I don't feel like they ever truly hear or know me. I've tried to put a fair bit of distance between us recently, and my feelings towards her have been validated by conversations I've had with others sharing the same observations. A friend recently told me that you have friends for reasons, seasons, or a lifetime. It feels like we've reached the end of our season, but I'm not sure how to officially end it respectfully without ghosting or conflict. I'd like it to be amicable so that we can still be friendly in the future, just not besties. Okay. Ooh. I have so many thoughts about this. I don't know this person, but just straight off the bat, also, like, I'm not a therapist, and I realize I use a lot of therapy language. We all do. This person uses the word gaslit, and they didn't fully go into the circumstances, but, like, as a culture, we use the word gaslit wrong. Most of the time we're being invalidated, but, like, to be gaslit is, like, a very, like, long-term manipulative kind of situation. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that there are some people who aren't being gaslit. It's just I think most of the time we use it when actually the other person just is invalidating our experience and, like, denying our truth. And that's probably just because they're reacting and being defensive a lot of the time, rather than they've, like, they're trying to, like, manipulate our mind or whatever. There's a lot of stuff going on here. Like, they're saying this person's a people pleaser, and then at the end they're saying, like, I'm not sure how to officially end it respectfully without ghosting or conflict. But it's like, well, you're actually being a people pleaser by avoiding conflict. If you sent this to us and this was you, I'm sorry if I've got it all wrong. I think that the real crux of it is if there's someone that you have issues with, you're kind of deciding, like, is this the end of our friendship? How do I end it respectfully without ghosting or conflict? You're the one that has a problem with this person. So you're actually not being authentic yourself by not expressing whatever the problem is that you have with them. I mean, you have said that you don't ever feel like they hear you or they know you, like you don't feel understood by them. So I think, like, that is, you know, that's a shitty feeling. I can relate to that. But I think, yeah, I think that you're also someone who's not being authentic within them. So that would be clouding any judgment that you have of this particular person. And that in avoiding conflict, you yourself, because it's like you're saying, like, I'd like to be amicable in future. That's, like, literally the definition of, like, people pleasing is, like, I don't want to rock the boat because I would like things to be amicable and I don't, like, I don't know what I mean?
To be like,
you want to supposedly please the other person, but it's not pleasing to anyone when you're feeling this, like, resentment towards someone. And it might also be, and, like, I don't know this, but it might be that, like, the way that you're coming at someone with your issues, I'm saying this because this has been me in the past. If you phrase something to someone as, like, these are all the things that you're doing wrong, you're going to instantly trigger somebody's, like, fight or flight response. They're going to instantly become defensive because, like, that's a natural response to if you feel like you're being attacked by someone. Whereas if you come to someone as, like, hey, I care about our relationship and, like, you know, we've been friends a long time and these are some things that I've been struggling with, and you actually place it as you're talking about your actual real vulnerable feelings, usually people are more willing to listen to those things. And if someone doesn't want to listen when you're trying to be vulnerable, then, yeah, like, they might not have the emotional capacity for the type of friendship that you want. But I think in this situation, it seems like you're also hiding things from them.
See, I've got a different take on this.
You might.
Okay.
No more.
Well, for me, I think this is what happens. Lots of people, so you could be one person, but to every single group of people, you're a little bit different. So
of course.
They're friends that don't mix their friends for a reason. It's because in group A, they're the funny one. In other groups, they're the least hilarious. Like, and then in one of them, they're the power bitch. But, like, to their high school girlfriends, no power because they've known you for long enough to know that you weren't. Yeah. And so sometimes you let people see sides of you that you feel the most comfortable. And it's interesting because the girlfriends are like groups that you might have been in high school where they've haven't let you develop who you are now. Like, it's because they've been around you for years and years and they know all the stories, the goofy stories of you doing this and you're like, they see you in one light. It's very hard for them to see you in, like, now you're a CEO or a boss bitch. So they're almost like you're different people and you feel very comfortable around them. The conversations that you're having are very different. When those groups collide through, like, a birthday and people are like, what? You're so-and-so to this person and so-and-so that, all of a sudden people start questioning how authentic you are. They're like, what? Look, why? She told me she hated politics and now she's, like, talking about, oh, she told me she hated that theory. And now, because in that group, she might have agreed with someone, or maybe she wants to like have further kind of, you know, deeper relationships. So she's happy to show some side of it. But maybe, yeah, in 2017, she told you, I'm a feminist and fuck, I you know, and now she's like entertaining thoughts. And I think sometimes when I've had friends that, because I've been that person where lots of people have seen different sides of me, when those worlds collide, I've watched a few of my friends being like,
what? Yeah.
What? And I've also done it with other people. Like an example is with one of my sisters. She's like adamant that like, I think I might have said this on this podcast before. I don't think she's that funny, but apparently she's hilarious. And when we get together as a family, because the all of us are so loud and so like, and some of the people in the group are more hilarious than the other people, she shrinks to a little violet.
Yeah.
And then she comes out with a joke and we're all like, no, girl, that's not funny. And then she's trying to make it out to be like, she's a Dave Chappelle of her friendship group.
Yeah.
I find that very hard to believe. And then when I've watched her, her friends aren't that funny. I can see how she thinks she's Dave Chappelle.
No, so this is interesting though. So you can see how she thinks that she's Dave Chappelle though. This is different to what this person's saying though, because this person's implying that this person is like...
No. She's really not funny, but the people that she's with...
Exactly, so it's context.
Yeah, no. And that's what I'm saying. When she says to me, I'm hilarious, I'm like, no. You weren't hilarious when I saw you before, and you're still not hilarious. Because your friends in the other group aren't funny at all. They think you're funny, and then you get this self-confidence at thinking that you are funny. Babes, you're not funny.
But all I'm saying is that's different to what I'm reading. Because what you're saying, though, is she's still authentically unfunny in both circumstances.
No.
It's just the context
mind,
around her is different.
100%. Yeah. And she's almost like a different person around different people. Different groups of people like bring different sides out of you. That's why lots of people separate their friendships. They want to be different people. They don't want everyone to see them in the same light all the time.
Yeah, and couldn't be me personally.
No, I'm the same
everywhere I go, unfortunately.
There are definite personalities that people couldn't be. But I do think that old people from the old past look at that and go, oh, how authentic are you? Oh, well, now you have this belief. Oh, at work, wow, you're so professional.
Yeah.
But I know you to be really disorganized. You're always like... And sometimes people start to question the other sides of you that do exist, but just not in that.
Yeah.
In your hometown girl, like your old girlfriends, you do want that ability, and I think you and I have spoken, to just feel like sometimes you just want to unload. Like you don't want to be serious, sophisticated, well-spoken. You just want to be like, yeah, bitch, can't be fucked.
Well, sometimes I just want to be silent, just in a room with somebody else.
And it doesn't mean...
And unbutton my pants so I can breathe out. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're being less authentic. It just means that, like, if I was a friend, I'd be like, oh, wow, oh, my God, I actually talk about it. Wow, I noticed that, blah, blah, blah. I never knew that you were like that. And just have that conversation. I don't think it's friendship ending. It's like, and it's not that you're not loyal. Like, you might have said something 4 years ago that you now no longer subscribe to because of situations that have happened in your life.
Well, it also, so there's quite a few things in here where I'm just like, well, you, the person who's written in is angry at this person.
Yeah.
Because it's like they said, loyalty is a big thing to me, but I find they will sit on the fence when conflict arises. So to me, this says you want this other person to be loyal to you and like maybe fight for you when conflict arises rather than trying to be neutral.
Because I reckon the person's had this belief. I imagine in this world, this woman's been this way, had a full belief, and then say like a couple of years later or a month or whatever, they're in a group and then this person's now like not that fiery person that she's once had. Like, I used to hate the Olympics. Thought they were a waste of money. This is a true story. Thought they were a waste of money. If you'd have spoken to me at the Tokyo Olympics, I'd have been like, what the fuck? We've spent $5 billion. You know what we should have done? This year,
Watch
the Simone Biles. And I was like staying up watching it. I was like, oh my God.
The Olympics,
wow, I'm so excited. Oh my God. Now I'm like, oh my God, should we go to LA for the next Olympics?
Yeah.
This is something that we should. 3 years ago, there was a petition or a march, I would have been at it,
To get rid of the Olympics, there are other marches that I would prefer you come to, but lol.
That is so true. And so if you just sat with me 4 years ago when you and I were about to start a rally anti-Olympics, and now I'm like...
Don't include me in that. I personally have loved the Olympics since Barcelona.
You would be like... Fatuma is, what the hell? Like, what happened to her? She was about to be in the, like, start the committee.
Yeah.
She was the one that was about to start the WhatsApp group and write to her local council about it, about where our taxpayer dollars are going. if you see that change in someone, you start to question. You're like, what?
I don't know. No, because nobody cares. You don't really care about changes until they immediately affect you. So I think this is more to do with the second half where this person talks about like them having their own problems and not feeling seen and heard and validated by this other person.
No,
because I think
part
if you feel that way, you don't care so much about somebody's showboaty like personas. If they are actually with you, you feel connected.
But I think if it's something, I'm talking about the Olympics, which is like a throwaway kind of. No. I'm talking about if there was something that was a bit more
meaty.
Let's just say something like a political stance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then years later, you started to surround yourself with other people, and now your mind is a bit more open or a bit more whatever way. Watching that and understanding that would be a little bit like perplexing. You're like, well, girl, oh my God, now you're not a feminist, or now you're pro this, or now you're not that, or now you don't care about this. It would be perplexing if that was an issue that was really, really important to you.
Yeah, I think if it's political stuff, I'd have a really different. I'm not going to read this as if it's a political thing, because my response would be really, really different if it was to do with actual, like, I'd need to know like the actual politics of the things that are involved, because I do think that, like, I think particularly in recent years, the conversation has with politics stuff, it's like, oh, why can't we see eye to eye? Like, we can just have different political beliefs. But it's like more and more in the past, like 10 years, as we've had the rise of the right wing politics, it's not about us not seeing eye to eye. A lot of the things that we're debating are literally like basic human rights and who has access to those basic human rights. But that's not, we're not going to get into this.
Let's just say like anti-vaxxers versus vaxxers, or COVID theories versus conspiracy. It's just those little things, like you've heard these conversations.
I mean, those aren't little.
No. But what can I say? Where people have like, their friendship ended. Yeah. Families are falling apart when like someone's like, no, I feel like the vaccine is a chip.
Yeah.
Or someone's gone down this path where you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I never thought that. We've had friends on, whether I remember being, someone wrote like, you know, oh my God, all these, there's too many Africans and they're the gang war thing situation. They're crime. And I remember being like, what? Like,
people you knew.
I was talking to my cousin and she had friends that, and she was like, no, but you're not Sudanese or you're not that type of person.
Oh, God.
And then that is like, those are the conversations where you're like, makes you literally go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You and I used to come to my house with my family eating ugali, and now you're like, oh my God, I'm
like,
I'm
no more
worried.
African gangs. What?
What about
the African gang you were part of?
Well, you're at my house eating with me. That was a gang.
Yeah.
You didn't complain about that African gang, did you?
Yeah.
But also, maybe the friend looks like she's a bit of a people pleaser. And I think that when you're friends with everyone, like when you're trying to be friends with everyone, you're probably not friends with no one. So I can see why, like, if you're trying to be friends and be this perfect person for every single group of people, then it probably means that you're not listening to the friends that you have. You're probably not giving it the attention because you're trying to do everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I'm not a therapist.
I'm just bringing back to that end when, like, but I'm not sure how to officially end it. This is just so funny to me because I'm like, friendships are ambiguous, all right? They're not marriages. They're not employees. You don't need to fire people. So if you're not ready to actually gather your thoughts and sit down and have a real heart-to-heart conversation with someone about the actual issues. And then when I say actual issues, I mean how you feel about them or how you feel about their dynamic, then maybe you don't need to have a conversation. Like, it's not about ghosting, because ghosting is like somebody reaches out to you and you ignore them, or like, you don't need to do that necessarily. Maybe if you just like need time away from this relationship, take time away and maybe they're not going to be reaching out to you. But if you're the one that's actually having struggles with this, you need to work out whether it's like that you need to actually voice something to them. The word people pleaser just gets thrown around a lot. A lot of people can fall into people pleasing behaviors. And it's funny because I think people pleaser is a bad word, because it's like really what you're trying to do. Yeah, like I said before, not rock the boat. You don't want other people to feel, you're trying to control other people's emotions essentially. And so it's not really about people pleasing, because the other person may have no, may be completely oblivious to whatever it is that you're doing to essentially try and like, maybe hopefully they don't elicit some sort of bad response.
Yeah.
But I think, you need to be I guess, upfront about the shitty feelings you're feeling towards them as well. Yeah. That's, well, if it was me, that's, but you know, I've burned a lot of bridges, baby, so maybe don't listen to me. I have a lot of haters. No.
Me too.
Anyway,
thank you so much again. Like I said, we're not therapists, but we try our best to help you out. And I love you or leave you, doesn't it say?
We're loving you and we'll leave you for now.
Yeah.
Ciao.
Bye. Bye.
Follow us at the Disappointing Friend Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. DM us a voice recording with all your friendship, tribulations and triumphs or just thoughts, or email us at thedisappointingfriendpodcast@gmail.com. We're obviously not psychiatrists or psychologists or therapists in any capacity, but we have years and years and years of experience disappointing friends and being disappointed by friends. Until next time, the disappointing friend has left the chat.
I love how I said God, by the way.
No, I know. I've been talking about God a lot recently as well. I know. My parents think I'm having an identity crisis. maybe I am, mom and dad. but no.